Turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. And after you have found that place, I want you to take a hymnal and put it under your Bible, because we will be referencing that hymnal in a few moments. Now, in the unfolding of this message this morning, at one particular point, I'm going to have you turn to a song in that hymnal, and we're going to stand together and sing it. Now, you need to understand beforehand that is not the closing hymn. From there, you will be asked to be seated again, and then we will continue on with the message that the Lord has laid on my heart. This morning's message is titled Between a Rock and a Hard Place. That could be where some of you are sitting. We've been considering an element of Christian experience that should transcend any and all of our individual circumstances. That element was given to us when the life of Christ was instilled in us. It's called joy. When joy is permitted free expression amongst God's people, it results in rejoicing. Imagine that. And rejoicing to those who are not experiencing it is merely a loud noise. There is a frenzy that sometimes takes place at certain kinds of concerts or at sporting events that can also be described as a loud noise. But it should not be confused with the joyful sound that is the result of God's people expressing their joy. Shortly before Jesus was crucified, his disciples, the scripture says there was a multitude of his disciples. His disciples were involved in making such a loud noise that the religious leaders asked Jesus to tell them to put a sock in it. A joyful sound. A joyful sound to those who are losing is merely a loud and annoying noise. In Luke chapter 19, I want to read beginning at verse 37 and reading through the end of the chapter, verse 48. Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 37. And as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke your disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If you had known, even you, at least in this your day, the things which belong unto your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the day shall come upon you that your enemy shall cast a trench about you, and compass you round, and keep you in on every side, and shall lay you even with the ground, and your children within you. And they shall not leave you in you one stone upon another, because you knew not the time of your visitation. And he went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were attentive to him. All the people were very attentive to hear him. There are three things in this passage that stand out for us this morning. The first is Jesus' answer. The second, and I'm not taking these in the order that they appear for a very specific reason, I want to conclude with the thing that surrounds, with the thing that is in the midst of this particular passage of Scripture. So the second thing I want to deal with is actually the last in this passage, and that is the people's attention. And then I want us to return and look at Jesus' action. Jesus' answer, the people's attention, and Jesus' action. First, let us consider Jesus' answer to the Pharisees. Last week, we had the scripture read to us. Verse 40, Jesus saying to the Pharisees, in regard to their request of him to rebuke his disciples for all the noise they were making in their praise and their worship, he says, if these keep silent, the stones will cry out. There are two ways to view this statement. We can view this statement either literally or figuratively. If we view it literally, that means that the actual stones would voice praise. That's one of the purposes for these stones that you see strategically placed in the congregation this morning. Because we were thinking, if the people don't get involved in praising, maybe the stones will. Because Jesus said, if these keep quiet, the very stones will cry out. So we could look at it literally, thinking that the stones were going to voice praise. This is a stretch of the imagination, for sure, but it is not outside of the realm of possibility for God. In fact, in the light of what Jesus was trying to get the Pharisees to understand, it makes sense that this praise that these disciples were involved in giving to Jesus was both acceptable and appropriate. Or we could look at this figuratively. And when we look at something figuratively, what is actually being said stands in place of something else. So this would mean that the rocks stand as symbols of something else. Recall our study on the Ten Commandments. Do you remember that when God gave the law to Moses, he wrote that law on tablets of stone with his finger. It could be argued that the significance of his choice of writing materials was symbolical of the condition of men's hearts. A case in point is that of the 12 disciples. There's a passage in Scripture that tells us that after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus told them to get into the boat and that he would meet them on the other side. So they began to toil at their rowing. and got out into about the midst of the lake, and a tremendous storm came up. And it was at that particular time that they saw Jesus walking on the water. And it literally scared them to death. They thought it was a ghost. But the thing that is said about these disciples in that particular situation, where they did not fully comprehend what had taken place at the feeding of the 5,000. They didn't fully comprehend what it meant when Jesus was able to take and break the loaves and have it multiplied amongst the people. And it says that the reason that they could not understand that was because they had hard hearts. Now he's talking about the 12 disciples. So it's entirely possible that there are individuals in this congregation this morning with hearts like this. Hard hearts. Hearts of stone. So when we come to this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 19, we come to realize that even the notoriously hard of heart individual would be moved to praise and worship at seeing and participating in the things that Jesus was doing. So what would appear at first glance to be perhaps an offhand remark of figurative speech becomes, on closer inspection, a strong rebuke of the condition of the hearts of the Pharisees. Remember, he's dealing with the Pharisees. He says to them, in response to their request for his disciples to be quiet, he says, if they are quiet, the very rocks will cry out. In other words, why aren't you Pharisees also praising? And his illustration of using rocks, he was telling them something very significant. Perhaps he was saying something like this. Look, even those who have strongly resisted me in my teachings are in awe of the things that I have done. Those with the toughest hearts have had their hearts melted in the light of who I am. But you Pharisees, your hearts are harder than stone. Nothing I have said, nothing I have done has moved you closer to the kingdom of God. Jesus had often told them that they were blind. He said that they were deaf. He called them hypocrites. Nothing faced. Nothing penetrated their hearts. Nothing changed them. Beloved people, a seed can split granite, but it is completely ineffectual against a piece of steel. And what in reality Jesus was saying, if this indeed is figurative language, is he was rebuking those Pharisees and saying that their hearts were harder than rock, because the rocks could cry out in praise. There are some here this morning with hard hearts. That is part of the symbolism of the rocks on the chairs. A heart of stone is no contest to the miraculous power of the Word of God. A heart of stone is no contest to the miraculous power of the Word of God. And here you have these Pharisees telling the disciples, be quiet. Well, you have a choice before you this morning as you turn in your hymnal to hymn number 676. We're going to stand and sing, and I want you to stand and I want you to sing with a loud voice. Remember, that's what the disciples were doing. They had a loud voice. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Let's stand together. To do something a little bit different in this next verse. I want the women to sing the major part of the song. In other words, they're going to sing above the battle strife. And then the women are going to cease singing, and the men are going to come in singing, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And we'll go through that, the whole verse. And then when we sing the fourth verse, we're going to turn it around. The men are going to sing the first part, and the women are going to echo the truth, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Ladies, would you begin?
Sing.
That is a loud noise, a joyful sound. That is a time that every Christian should be involved in shouting forth the praise of God. This is the source of our joy. Jesus saves. No wonder Jesus said that if they did not rejoice with a loud voice, the rocks would. And that brings us to the second part. The people's attention. Another purpose of the rocks being on some of the chairs this morning is to get your attention. And I want to tell you, from watching the reactions of people coming into the church this morning, we had more attention in what was going on inside this building this morning than at any time I can remember. There were a lot of comments about what to do with these rocks. We won't go there. Verse 48 tells us that the leadership in Jerusalem were looking for ways to destroy Jesus. Do you know that that's something that Satan can no longer do? Because Jesus is in the most secure place, and that is at the right hand of the Father.